need a help, and we're going to start with the weather. Today, it's mostly sunny, a high of 39 degrees. Tonight, we're going to have a low of 29 and mostly cloudy. Thursday looks mostly cloudy again with a high of 49. And Friday looks like we'll have some rain and fog. We'll be right back.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Good morning and welcome to Happy to Help, a show dedicated to sharing stories about people helping people. I'm Nicole Smith, your host and lifelong volunteer. Our show highlights people who are active participants in the realm of social responsibility. We talk with folks who choose to devote their time, talent, and resources to helping others, with the intent of inspiring our listeners to discover their purpose in the philanthropic space. Whether you are a tween, teen, college student, adult, or retiree, we invite you to listen and learn more about the people and the organizations in our community and around the world enhancing their own lives through helping others. Today, I am pleased to have as my guest, Dr. Paul Keel. Welcome, Paul.
Thank you.
I'm so glad to have Paul here. I adore Paul. Paul and I met through Toastmasters. We're both members of the Speechmeisters Toastmasters Club in Basking Ridge. And I joined Toastmasters because I wanted to, that's a bad Toastmasters thing. I wanted to improve my comfort and ability for public speaking as I spread the word about Room to Read, another organization I volunteer with. And I met Paul and so many wonderful people. And every time Paul gives a speech, I'm always fascinated by his life, his stories, and he is also a voracious volunteer and does many things. And we'll start by talking a little bit about your volunteer work at the Y through swimming. Do you want to talk about kind of what... So Paul's an avid runner, a frequent swimmer. I could go on and on, but swimming is kind of what connected you to volunteer work, I think, initially, correct?
Exactly. Not that I was averse to any volunteer work before swimming, but swimming tells us a lot about life itself. It's a sport that's exacts a lot from you. You've got to do it right, and it takes a discipline, frustration tolerance, and hard work. I was watching a practice. A coach coaching one a private high school, and he yelled to the swimmers during the practice, "Challenge yourselves." And that says a lot about life itself. You grow, you improve, you become more successful by graded increases in how you challenge yourself. You don't have to change the whole world all at once, but you do it little by little. And swimming is a very difficult sport to learn, particularly if you're older. And there's no more gratification that I got from volunteering to help some people just learn how to swim, actually how to swim better. And it becomes metaphor for a lot of things. When I was a runner too, and one of the people I met, considered to be the father of sports medicine in the United States, in his thick German accent, I don't want to try to imitate it, but he said about the running world, it's the people. And when I was a runner, and I was a marathon runner and even ultra marathons, I met, for instance, Roger Bannister. And if you read his book, The 4-Minute Mile, he's the man who broke the 4-Minute Mile. He was a medical student at the time, so he had to apportion his time properly just to practice. He had to be efficient. And he broke the 4-minute mile, which they said was undoable. But he had a plan to do it. And since the Olympics are coming up, let me get back to, again, what's a metaphor for life. The modern Olympics began in 1896, and I bring up the Olympics because the Winter Olympics are coming up now. And Baron de Coubertin, a journalist, wrote this: the important thing in the Olympics is not to win, but to take part. Then he goes on, the important thing in life is not to triumph, but to struggle. And Bannister had his own variation that the urge to struggle lies latent in all of us. You struggle, you triumph over this or that. It could be just plain homework, learning a language, learning a sport, and you triumph, and you feel good about doing it, but then you have to go on to the next thing because it felt so good. You want to get that good feeling again about struggling and coming out ahead. Now, have I gone off a tangent, or would you like to ask me something from what I said, and then we'll go on?
No, I think I love, like I said, I love everything you're talking about and the things you do. And I think one thing that I want people to understand is if you want to end up volunteering, or if you want to think about volunteering, one way to get involved is you don't have to look very far. You can turn something you love into helping others. And you were talking about before, off air, we were talking about how your love of swimming turned into helping the swim program, helping the Special Olympics, helping different organizations, all from the pool. And if we want to highlight some of those organizations that you've helped work with, just by offering your love of swimming and your knowledge of swimming and to help people, less fortunate people in the pool, because that's your forte.
We have a group. The acronym is SWIM, Special Water Interest Movement. And this was started some decades ago by a woman who had arthritic problems, severe, worked out in her own pool and got the idea of water exercise helping various illnesses. And it mushroomed to where a place like the Y was offering free time for people with various disorders, Parkinson's, stroke, post-stroke, multiple sclerosis, and severe arthritic changes. And we have one of those at the Somerset County Y and at the Bridgewater branch, and people can come free and spend an hour in the water. And there's also much camaraderie, and it leads to a lot of things. One thing to remember, we're all in this thing together, mm-hmm. life, the world, and they meet people with similar impediments, you might call it, and it's a different world and different life, and just to be part of it is, you feel good. I'm reminded of Nicholas Kristof.
One of my favorites.
Who seemed to be a wonderful person who was really interested in the world itself and helping people. And he wrote an article, and it started off with he's a runner. And he said, people ask me if I'm addicted to running. And it does happen. And there's a whole mechanism for why that happens. But he went on to say, well, he went on to cite a study. And in it, I don't know how anybody could have thought of the idea, but a group of women, say 5 or 6 of them, were given a huge amount of money for no reason. And they're hooked up to the computer and to electroencephalogram and brain waves, and they found that the pleasure areas, the reward areas of their brain lit up just getting money. Well, okay, what would you expect? If somebody gives you a bunch of dollars, you're going to feel good and you're going to feel rewarded. But another way of lighting up those, your pleasure areas, your reward areas, is by giving to charity. And they found by...
Wow.
Pardon me?
Wow.
Some of the women who got the money gave it away. And these reward areas, the pleasure area of the brain, lit up. So Christoph asks, is it possible that altruism can be addicting?
I believe so.
So I go back to even the biblical writings, Maimonides, the reward of doing a good deed is another good deed.
Oh, that's great. Well, I love Nick Christoph and Cheryl Wu Dunn. I often talk about books, so I want to share books with people because I love reading and learning. And one of my favorites is what's it called, Half the Sky, that Nick Christoph and Cheryl Wu Dunn wrote. They wrote Half the Sky because there's a proverb that says, the woman holds up half the sky, and it's a whole book about volunteering and what people can do to change the world. And then a few years later, they came out with A Path Appears, which is kind of a sequel to that. And they were saying if someone creates a path in the grass to go to and from a certain place, as they keep going on that same path or that same direction, a path appears. So it's kind of a pathway to volunteerism and a path to finding your purpose. So I love both of those books. And when you mentioned Christoph, I lit up because he's such an amazing guy.
Yeah, to do something for the sake of doing it, I don't know if you mentioned, I was a psychiatrist, and that's hard work.
Yes.
And sometimes you wonder, did you help somebody or didn't you? Or did you even make them worse? And after I retired and doing some of the work, the volunteer work at the Y, I found that I got more gratification from the things I wasn't paid for.
Oh, good.
Of course, people are grateful, and then there's more camaraderie, and we learn from each other. But altruism can be addicting, and doing something for somebody else. And I was surprised. I was looking up the Lone Ranger.
Oh.
Now there was the hero when we grew up, the Masked Man, and he would clean up a town and ride away to the William Tell Overture, but he wore a mask, so nobody knew who he was to give him credit for that and for whatever he did. And he felt it within himself. And I was surprised to find there's a Lone Ranger club. There's a Lone Ranger group. And the first principle is that all men are created equal and that everyone has within himself the power to make this a better world.
I believe that, absolutely. Absolutely. And you mentioned that you're a psychiatrist, which is the other thing I wanted to ask you about, because with all your history and your experience and personally living an altruistic life, do you have any statistics or knowledge to share about the psychiatry of giving, or how it, like you said, it lights up the brain, but it's a holistic endeavor, correct? Right? It helps body, mind, and soul, right?
Well, with just exercising and proper nutrition, you're doing a lot. There are psychiatrists who use exercise as a treatment, particularly for depression, and it has a rationale for why it helps. And there's no question, and those that have experienced what I'm going to say will agree with me, that taking a long walk or a long run, your mind clears. And there are the biochemical concomitants of this, of why it happens. But it happens. And I think a lot of great things happen just by the effect of a long walk, getting away from everybody, getting away from everything. Take the biblical Moses who leaves his people, gets away from them, finds a place, climbs a mountain, is away for 40 days and 40 nights, which is something magic about 40 days and 40 nights, which is another issue, and comes back with written in stone, not 10 commandments, but hundreds of them.
Wow.
He became inspired. And you could say it was the word of God, or it doesn't make any difference. People will listen if God have told you this, but God may have communicated in his mind the benefits of just getting away, walking, exercising.
A walking meditation, walking
meditation,
prayer.
Meditation, clearing the mind, mm-hmm. And you get answers.
Yes, if you're just quiet enough. Yeah, let them come, right?
Yeah, let them come.
Let them come. Exactly.
And there's expression, you get all the garbage out of your mind.
Correct.
And I got into running, gradually. We were living in Mountainside, and it's the side of a mountain. And I would take the dogs into the woods. And so I was able to walk. And then I read an article, jogging is an in-sport. And people were jogging, and not only jogging, but now races were starting, age group and masters running and marathoning. And I had done a little running in high school, and I always felt I didn't reach my potential. So I it was a chance to get back. So at age 40 or even 38, I got very serious about running, and then I met people and running marathons. It was a whole new world.
Right. It opens up a whole new learning experience, yeah. And a whole new group of people and everything like that. Yeah, that's great. All right. We're going to take a quick news break, and we'll be back shortly.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce. building business, one business at a time.
And we're back. We're talking with Dr. Paul Keel. He's a retired psychiatrist and a volunteer in many aspects. We talked about swimming and your love of swimming. And before you were a swimmer, you were a runner. And one of the organizations that I learned about through you was the Achilles Foundation, which does, which helps people with disabilities and running. And I was going to, let's see. Oh, here we go. I want to read about the Achilles International.
Yes.
Because you're involved with them. And again, we'll reference Toastmasters. You brought the founder, Dick Trom, to our Toastmasters group, and he spoke, which was very exciting. But I'll read real quickly. The mission of Achilles International is to enable people with all types of disabilities to participate in mainstream running events in order to promote personal achievement. Specialized programs include the Achilles Freedom Team, which serves wounded military personnel and veterans, Achilles Kids, which provides training, race opportunities, and in-school program for children with disabilities, the Achilles Paratriathlon Team, which expands our running program into biking and swimming, Achilles Chapter Workouts, plus our signature race, Hope and Possibility, which takes place in several cities worldwide. And there's several chapters in New York. There's one chapter in Bergen in New Jersey, and one in Philadelphia. So there's chapters, and somebody who's an avid runner and wants to help could start a chapter, correct?
Yes.
How did you meet Dick? Can you tell us about how you met him?
Now it comes back to me how I met him. I knew of him. A friend of mine that I ran with, we ran marathons together. Of all things, at age 70, he had a stroke. And I knew of the Achilles, and that Dick had people who were post stroke and had worked with him. So that's how I met him, through bringing my friend to him. And then we've had an association now for a good 25 years, and he's an amputee. He's got a doctorate. He's Dr. Trom. I think it's in a combination of psychology and business.
Wow.
And he's very good at organizing and getting people together. And now it's become well-funded. And people with every type of disability have run marathons, blind people, people with Parkinson's, people with cerebral palsy, people with multiple sclerosis, blind people, diabetics, post-heart attack people. He's done it's a wonderful organization. And it is, he often says it's harder to start a chapter locally than it is in Outer Mongolia. He started a chapter there and another chapter in Chechnya.
Wow.
But he's done wonderful, wonderful work. And it's the community, it's the group spirit, it's the camaraderie, and it has certainly helped millions of people live their lives and everything about them. And he continues on. How old is he now? He's a little younger than me. He's in his early, I think he's about 77.
Wow. 77 and, years young. Well, he's the amazing story about him. So he was at a gas station.
He's at a gas station and getting gas, and a car backed up and smashed his leg.
Ugh.
And after days and weeks, they finally had it amputated.
Mm-hmm. And then it's a classic, you know, tragedy into triumph, right? So he got mobile and got a prosthetic and began running, and he's the first amputee to ever run the New York City Marathon.
Sometime in the 70s.
Incredible.
He did the
Yeah, the marathon. Yeah, that's incredible. And then my kids and I just watched a couple weeks ago the movie Stronger about the gentleman who lost both of his lower legs in the Boston Marathon bombing. Rehabbed and came back and a couple years later ran the marathon. Amazing story. So there's definitely triumph out of tragedy in these people's lives, which is amazing. But you don't have to go through a tragedy to become a volunteer. You can work with people in your own community and your family and your church, and just like we were talking before, do something you love. So you put a large emphasis on fueling your body with healthy food, exercising to keep yourself fit, and mentally helping others. And you're a master at combining all those things into a volunteer experience. So that's amazing. Can you talk about, well, the other thing I want to mention is, so you're a retired psychiatrist, but you also have 5 kids and 10 grandkids?
Yes.
That's amazing. And talking about healthy food, your grandson had this amazing organic farm.
Yeah.
And now he's working in D.C. for Jose Andre, who is a huge philanthropic guy in his own right. He's done so much to help the Puerto Ricans
Yes.
So do you know a little bit about what they're doing there? Or
I'm sorry.
Do you know what they've done for... He just raised a lot of money, I think, with his notoriety. Jose did.
Yes. And right. he was in Puerto Rico.
Shortly after. Yes.
For a while. This grandson, he's still... Luckily, he's still idealistic. And he had his own organic farm for a number of years. And farmers don't make a living.
It's hard, especially if you're trying to do it organically.
Exactly. But he was dedicated. He was an environment major at graduated Bowdoin. And his brother was an anthropologic major at the Connecticut College. Mm-hmm. And they worked hard.
Yes.
And I think they had a farm right around here, right around this area.
Yeah. Oh, didn't he have it in Hopewell, I think? Or he had one in Hopewell and Mendham.
Exactly.
Yeah, correct.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But they would bring stuff up to Mendham where people would sign up, pay in advance, and get the weekly produce
Produce, and, yeah.
And... But it's hard to make a living.
So he made a change, right?
He was recruited for this job. He had a reputation for having a good product.
Yeah.
But it was a product that you can't make a living on. So now he's working for...
In D.C.
What are they called?
Beef something?
Beefsteak.
Beefsteak.
And they have health food restaurants all over. And he's an inspector and buyer.
Good. He knows his stuff, right?
He knows his stuff.
Yeah, I was grateful to him because when we did, for Room to Read, we did a community cookbook, and I collected recipes. It's called Recipes Worth Reading. And we collected all these recipes from chefs and restaurants and local cooks. And he gave me a garlic scape hummus recipe for my cookbook. So very yummy. So I didn't even know what garlic scapes were until I moved to New Jersey. But it's the long green stem because the bulb of the garlic is in the ground, and then the green stem is like this long curly, almost looks like a chive. And they're very very yummy and very flavorful. And he gave me a hummus recipe that he made out of that, which was delicious. So I'm grateful to him for that. We talked about, so he made a change. We just talked about him making a career change because he wanted to do something different. And because it's the new year, we're talking about New Year resolutions. And do you have any thoughts on the psychology of New Year resolutions and why people can't stick to them, or how to form a habit, a good habit, and maybe how people could develop a good habit, including volunteering?
Well, it's a way of life. Just take your eating habits. I started out with very good supervision. My father was a dentist, and his big thing was don't eat candy. And my grandfather, his father, my paternal grandfather, had a candy store right around the block, walking distance.
Temptation.
Stone's throw. And he wanted to give me whatever candies and stuff. And my father wouldn't let him. And my grandfather was heartbroken. I think they couldn't give me. But he gave me comic books, and I wish I saved them.
Oh, cool.
Superman comic books I got for free. But the only time I had ice cream was after my tonsils were taken out. My parents persuaded me to have the tonsils taken out, and I could have ice cream afterwards. But it's what you don't have. And my parents were also very much into listening to these radio programs on nutrition. And they were very simple, and it's more what you don't eat. And I remember a name, Victor H. Lindlar, and his program on nutrition. And it's very simple. It's eating as much fresh fruits and vegetables as you can. Get roughage. They called it roughage. Now it's fiber.
My parents told me
you got to have roughage.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes I even left the table hungry because desserts were almost unknown. Maybe occasionally there was an apple pie.
Yeah.
And I went wayward when I went away to college. I had desserts.
Oh, did
and
you?
Soda.
Did you splurge?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And like, indulge.
It's a certain discipline. Learning to eat the right foods, and that's what my grandsons were into. Organic foods, but organic foods involved a lot of fruit and vegetables, and recipes for making them even tastier, but avoiding some of the things. You can eat meat, you can eat occasionally, you can have a lot of fish.
Yeah.
But people don't keep their news revelations because they'll do it strictly for a week or two, and then they're unable to keep up with the regimen they've set, and then gradually go back to the old ways. It's a way of life. You have to think of it.
A way of life. That's good advice. Yeah, well, and you just touched on it, too. You said gradually they go back to their old habits, because I think part of the key is instead of trying to change too much too soon, you have to gradually introduce new habits. So maybe don't give up your soda or don't give up your soda and your dessert and everything else. Give up one thing. So you know,
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. You don't need this. The other thing, the exercise world, if you want to, like, run marathons, and I can't imagine why anybody would want to, or why I wanted to, and I ran a lot of them. But it's a whole new world. So you give up the things that prevent you from being a good marathon runner. You cut down on even on ice cream.
Yeah, everything in moderation.
In moderation. And finally, you cut out little by little by little. And you feel better for doing it, so you're willing to give up the things that deter your program.
Right, you feel better mentally and physically,
yeah.
So that food's not weighing you down, and mentally you develop a mental congratulations or toughness because you've done it.
Yeah.
Right?
What people have to avoid are these quick weight loss. I lost 23 pounds in 10 days. And it's the worst thing you could do.
Yeah.
And the only ones that write books on it, they make a lot of money on it, and that's the only ones that are helped.
Right, good for them, right? Yeah. Well, I think exercise and volunteering are one of those things. People say, "How do you have the time to do it? How do you find the energy? How do you find the time?" I said, "Well, I make the time, but also I think the returns are exponential. So the more you exercise, yeah, the more energy you have. And when you're volunteering and helping others, it really invigorates you. It's almost inexplicable because you get a new sense of energy, a new sense of purpose. You're meeting people, you're learning new things. And so it doesn't sap your energy, it infuses your energy.
We get back to what Christoph said, altruism can be addicting.
Exactly. Yes, I personally say that I'm completely selfish in my volunteer work because I get to meet new people, learn new skills. I improved my speaking skills, and I met a whole new plethora, a whole new genre of people that I wouldn't have met through Toastmasters and doing the Rotary Club circuit and speaking to those people. So it's been bonus beneficial for me in so many ways. So I'm grateful for that. We have a great Toastmasters group. There's 100 in Toastmaster Club. Have you ever been to the 100 in Club?
No.
I've been once. And so I would encourage people to go to Toastmasters.com. Maybe we should educate them a little bit about Toastmasters. So do you want to tell them why you joined the club and how long you've been in our club?
Well, in a roundabout way, it came about through swimming. I bumped into... Well, you know Dieter Wunderlich.
I met him the one time, but he was gone before I joined.
He was gone. Yeah. He's a swimmer, and I knew him from swimming. And I bumped him at the Y, and he was there to see about getting space for Toastmasters to meet.
At the Y.
And he got me to join. but he quit.
Well, he retired, right?
He retired from Toastmasters.
Yeah.
He called retired, but he got me into it.
That's great. Yeah, you've demonstrated that your consistent love of exercise and swimming got you into Toastmasters, got you into the swim. And, I mean, you basically, have they given you your own parking space at the Y yet because you're there so much? You're a fixture. But you're also an inspiration because you're in excellent health, and I think people can look up to that because it's a thing. Just like I try and tell people, well, kids get plenty of exercise, hopefully, if they're not on their devices too much. But you start with volunteering. If you start with your family at a young age, when they're young, then they get into the habit of volunteering and realize how good it makes them feel, and they establish a value of volunteering. That's what my parents did with me, and I'm trying to instill that in my own kids.
That's the thing. You set an example. You don't tell them to do it.
Set an example, exactly.
You don't tell them. And I hope I don't sound like I'm bragging, but we have 5 kids. They're all done very well.
Yeah.
And the secret was we didn't tell them what to do.
Yeah.
We did not tell them. My son is a vascular surgeon. Mm-hmm. We have 1 boy. And the only advice I gave him is don't go into my field. although he has something that I lack, which is mechanical ability and artistic ability.
Wow.
And I'm lucky if I tie my shoelaces.
We've all got our own talents. We all have our unique talents.
Yeah.
No, well, that's good. Well, I think too, you have to let kids evolve into
exactly.
who they're going to be.
Exactly.
Right? You guide them, you expose them. And I have 5 kids too. So, I mean, I don't have the grandkids yet. Hopefully I'll be blessed with as many grandkids as you have one day. But I'm all about exposure. Throw stuff at the wall, expose them to different things, and let them discover who they are. That's what it is. It's about discovery. Right?
Yes.
And I think the interesting thing about your son is you said he went to college but didn't like the college, then he went to another college, but then he flourished, right?
Exactly.
So don't be afraid to change, right?
Well, he found himself in college. He was a late bloomer. He was okay in high school but didn't reach his potential, and went away to a college, Allegheny, an excellent college. Near where I went to college, there are great colleges in western Pennsylvania, eastern Ohio, even West Virginia. He went there, and we drove him there. It was a beautiful day, and I think that was the only beautiful day they had for you. There's always an overcast there, and he was miserable. And then But luckily, after his first year there, he went to Connecticut College, luckily.
Mm-hmm. And loved it, right?
Yes.
And then he was off.
And he flourished.
He flourished. Yeah, and I think people need to realize that, too, because you grow so much more in your 20s, too. I mean, it's not all about high school. I know there's a lot of pressure these days for these kids to go to high school and, I mean, be in high school and get the amazing grades and get into a college and, you know, but I, you know, you've got the rest of your life to work and the rest of your life to succeed. And I don't think it all needs to be summed up at the high school graduation as to your trajectory for life.
Exactly.
So, well, maybe you can, I don't know if you can talk about a little bit about the psychology of change, because I know change is really hard for most people. Most people love their routine, which I think routines are good, and they love the status quo, but I think people, the growth mindset is really big right now. And if you can get yourself to push yourself a little bit outside your comfort zone, that's real where real growth occurs. Would you agree?
Exactly. Back to what that swimming coach yelled to the kids, challenge yourselves. I thought it was unique, but I think that's what all the coaches do. But still, it's metaphor. Challenge yourself.
Challenge.
And then your body will make, if you work at it hard enough, your body makes the adjustments. Your heart makes the adjustments to the gradual increases in stress you put on it. Your blood pressure modulates, mm-hmm. your pulse slows, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, and I think challenging yourself in outside your comfort zone is the way to go in moderation again, because I think what some people tend to do is they find something that they're really good at and then they push themselves beyond the brink mm-hmm. at that one subject because you're great at it, right? So you feel good because you're performing well and you want to do well, but then you take it way too far and overachieving, and then you end up getting hurt or injured or you burn out and things like that. So I think today we've got, you know, the type A overachievers that mm-hmm. funnel their energy into one thing and they're not more well-rounded. I think people need to open their eyes a little bit more.
What helps is doing it, for instance, running, having a group that you do it with, and
yes.
and this all sizes fit in. The person who will run, say in a workout 5 miles, but will throw in some walking, and then the other end, the one who really puts all out, goes all out, and you find levels that you have to like it for some reason.
Yes, absolutely.
It's hard to do exercise. For instance, I try to do exercise in the gym. It'll help my swimming, and I'll do it regularly for a couple of weeks and find some reason not to do it. But with the swimming, there's a camaraderie. There's always a challenge, and it's something I can do.
Yeah. I think having a partner, having someone to bounce things off of, whether it's in a group, a running group, a swimming group, or even just a workout partner in the gym, I think it's good to have someone to pump you up and encourage you when you're maybe having a little weak moment or something like that.
Yeah, you have to look forward to it a little bit for some
yes.
reason.
Yes.
For some reason you look forward to it.
Exactly. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we'll be back.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, RabCoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875. Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
When it matters most,
Our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And we're back with Dr. Paul Keel, my friend from Toastmasters, and also fellow author, I should say. He wrote a book, Exercise and the Mind, The Possibilities for Mind-Body-Spirit Unity. And I just got a copy of this, so I'm excited to add this to my bedside table for reading. And we're also both authors. We both write articles for our local paper. I write a lot about volunteerism, and Paul writes some opinion pieces, but I think that's been another area of growth for me, is being able to write, which I've never done before, but found myself in sharing volunteer experiences or wanting to showcase volunteers in the community. I'll write articles for the paper, either the Tap Into online paper or the Bernardsville News, which has been pretty fun. And you've written some articles for your temple. And
yes.
Different things. So one article you wrote was about the mitzvah, which is basically an act of goodness, correct? So if you want to talk about that a little bit.
Well, the mitzvah in ordinary conversation means do a good deed. You help an old lady across the street, you did a good deed. But what it really is, it's law, it's charity, it's giving, it's God's commandment. If you have to invoke God, it's God's commandment to help other people, all the altruistic things we say. And there's a rationale to why we feel better having done it. It's the accomplishment of something. And Maimonides, who was 11th century, rabbi, physician, philosopher, he wrote the Mishneh Torah. He wrote the repetition of the first five books. Reinterpretation, and he spoke about, even mentioned exercise. You should exercise to the point of breathlessness,
wow,
and push yourself away from the table and avoid fatty foods.
Right.
It was into all these things. And
ancient wisdom that still has relevance today, correct?
Wisdom is wisdom. It hasn't changed. I think I'm going back to from the Lone Ranger, the Lone Ranger Club. All things change but truth. And with that truth alone lives on forever. And it's in the Bible. Mm-hmm. If you interpret it correctly, it's in the Bible. Rules of living and exercise and nutrition, and I'm not talking about being kosher or things like that.
Okay.
But that was important for its time.
Right. Well, your body is your temple, right?
Yes.
You got to take care of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. Thoreau wrote about that too, and if you study his life on Walden Pond. He would have come out super fit, because he would have to walk into town and walk around and meet people and interviewing people and writing about the people he met, the farmers and their way of life. And he was a good exerciser.
Yeah, and he was engaging with people again,
yes.
Which I'm not a scientist or a doctor, but I think helping other people is in our DNA, right? It's just kind of what we were designed to do. So if more people can make time to help someone else, whether it's in just having a conversation, sometimes people just need to talk or vent. And you don't have to go through a formal formal organization or formal program to help other people. You can just be aware and find a need. Ken from our Toastmasters group, he said his neighbor was retired and the working family next door needed some help getting the little one on the bus to school because the parents had to go to work. So he was kind of like the bus proctor in the morning. He helped that mm-hmm. little child get on the bus. And it was a tiny thing of
it's
about
a little thing, but yeah, it fits in
gold into those parents, yeah. right? Because they could go to work knowing their child was taken care of to get on the bus and they're a responsible person. And that's a mitzvah. It's a volunteer, yeah. a spontaneous volunteer opportunity, and didn't have to go to a website, didn't have to go to orientation, didn't have to give any money. You just step up.
Yeah, I don't know if I recited this before, maybe a repetition, but the best in Judeo-Christian thinking and writing is in that Lone Ranger code that all men are created equal, and that everyone has within himself the power to make this a better world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so did you grow up watching The Lone Ranger? Sounds like you're a little obsessed with it.
Oh, my God. Well, it was just recently I found there's a Lone Ranger club.
You were in the club? There was a club?
No. I, by mistake, I found it online, The Lone Ranger Creed. Anybody can look it up, The Lone Ranger's Creed uh-huh. or The Lone Ranger Club. And, boy, it's apparently flourishing. They've got a lot of things written and a lot of philosophy to it.
How long have you been in the Lone Ranger Club?
I'm not in it. I just happened to find
it. You follow it, yeah.
Yeah.
And when did you find it? How long ago?
A few years ago.
Yeah.
Few years ago.
And did you watch it when you were a kid?
Oh, my God.
I love it.
Yeah, I think at the time, I have a close friend. We've known each other since before kindergarten, which would mean we've known each other more than 80 years.
Wow.
And the time we were listening to the Lone Ranger, and it was so sad. It was how the Lone Ranger found his horse Silver, but the Lone Ranger's horse's mother died, or I don't remember what was sad about it. So I called him up, and I got a busy line.
Aww.
And then he would try to get me and get a busy line because we're each trying to
go because you were so excited to talk to each other. Yeah, this is before call waiting, right? Before texting.
But and he even talks about the Lone Ranger, his wearing a mask and nobody knowing that he was the one who gave the gift. This is Maimonides' hierarchy of giving, that the anonymous giver, you do it for its own sake.
Correct. Yeah, yeah.
Any reward.
Right. Yeah, and it is its own reward, basically.
It's its own reward, yes. Because then you want to do another thing because you feel so good about it.
Right.
And that feeling good can be, if you want to look at it biochemically, to things do happen.
The endorphins you were talking about.
The endorphins and your pleasure area, the rewards area gets bathed in a bunch of neurohormones.
The dopamine,
feel good,
serotonin. I don't know.
The same neurohormones that people take drugs to mimic. Certain drugs mimic these neurohormones, but you can get it on your own.
Yeah, we're going for the natural high, right? We want the natural high.
Natural high.
That's great. No, that's amazing. So we're getting close to the end of our show, and I want to thank you again for taking the time to talk. Because you are a pillar of wisdom. And do you have any more parting quotes or call to action to tell people, anything to tell people to get out there and turn something you love into a volunteer opportunity, right?
Well, you've said it for me.
Okay, any more quotes you want to share from your page there? You've got some good quotes, I think. The one I always like to end with is, if you want to be happy, help someone else, because I think that's the true route to happiness is helping others. It's not through new toys or a bigger salary or more chocolate. It's chocolate's good, but it's helping others. What do you think?
Yeah. Well, and again, as Roger Bannister, the man who broke the doctor, he became a doctor, and he became renowned as a neurologist.
Wow.
He spoke about the need to struggle And to struggle and overcome something is, it's how we get ahead. It's how we learn.
Yep. It's worth it.
It's how we contribute.
Right. If it's worth it, it's not going to come easy, right? It takes a little bit of effort, but then once you put forth that effort, the rewards are astronomical.
And that goes back to even nutrition. Yeah. Better eat some good foods than candy.
That's right. No candy from your dad, the dentist.
Yeah.
Well, now the dentists collect candy after Halloween and send it to the troops, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
Right? A lot of times. They have the drop-offs at the dentist offices. So feed your mind, feed your body, exercise, and help others. That's kind of our message today for the formula for a good, long, healthy, happy life, which you demonstrate so wonderfully.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here, Paul.
Thank you.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
President Trump says when it comes to crafting a new bill to protect so-called dreamers,
this should be a bipartisan bill. This should be a bill of love.
But before work even begins on crafting such a bill, a federal judge is now preventing the Trump administration from rolling back the existing DACA immigration program as it pertains to those already here who were brought to the U.S. illegally as children. Immigrants not currently covered, though, cannot apply for the program. That ruling coming from a U.S. Circuit Court judge in San Francisco yesterday, President Trump started the process to end DACA last September.
Well, once the boulders and trees came through our house, we climbed up on the roof.
And that Southern California woman in Montecito was rescued, although 13 people have been killed by floods and mudslides sparked by a major rainstorm. And this is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn Root. I'm a father of four, and I worry every day about this dangerous world. There are so many things that could go wrong. Economic collapse, stock market crash, terrorist attack, war with North Korea. There's a lot to worry about when it comes to protecting your income.
Almost like someone was underneath your bed, pushing up on the mattress.
That death toll of about 50 expected to rise because at least 150 people are missing. At the Vatican, Pope Francis urging everyone to pray for the victims.
And there certainly can be a softening because we're not looking to hurt people.
Donald Trump confirming during a town hall on Fox News last night that he could still change some of his policies concerning illegal immigration, but he repeated his vow to build a wall on the border with Mexico. This is USA Radio News.
Hey everybody, singer-songwriter Brett Watts here. If you're like me, always on the go, and don't have time to stay as healthy as we would like by eating all the right foods, well, I found an incredibly simple and easy way to get all my fruits and vegetables at once. It's called Daily Lift, L-I-F-T. It's a superfoods energy drink mix supplement that fills the gaps between what you eat and what you don't always have time to eat. This unique formula is packed with 16-plus fruits and vegetables and 59 superfoods. No MSG or GMO. It's all natural and organic. Nature's best combination of antibiotics, enzymes, probiotics, and beneficial allergies in one powdered drink mix. Comes in two flavors, mint and berry, and both delicious. Daily Lift nutrients help balance your body's pH levels and boost your energy naturally. And it's safe for kids. So let's fire up that immune system and stay focused. Go to www.onedailylift.com. That's one.